What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, so we back for another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. Man, we got episode 72, getting up there, moving on up. This is going to be an interesting episode. We got Thad the Millennial back with us again. Mm-hmm. His last day here in Austin, so we got to get one more podcast out of him before he leave. We're going to talk about some interesting topics. But yeah, as always, I am J.Dot Flan. Across from me, my brother Rich Nerd. And as I said before, Thad the Millennial. We will make up the White Pants Society this afternoon. Thank you for listening. All right, pay the bills real quick. TTCharities.org. Again, as always, please check out the website. See what programs they have going on right now. What you can help with, what you can donate toward. I'm not sure if the Summer of Giving is still going on, but at one point there was, a little bit of an incentive to donate. They were giving away tickets to things and things like that for your money. But whether you get an incentive or not, the incentive is helping our people out and contributing to an organization that does a lot of on the ground good work towards taking care of our folks. So TTCharities.org, donate whatever you can, time, money, clothes, books, food. Whatever it is they need, be your brother's keeper. Rena's Cakeys, as always. We repping Rena's Cakeys because they're delicious. If you don't know what a cakey is, it's the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake with icing. They come in like 6 different flavors. I ain't going to get them all out, so I'm not even going to try. But all of them are good. If you haven't had a cakey, you owe it to yourself to try it out. But she also does everything else, pies, macaroons, really elaborately decorated cakes, wedding cakes, whatever you need, whatever your baking needs are, you should holler at Rena's Cakeys. That's R-I-N-A-S, cakeys.com. And then last but not least, the homie Alex and CelebrityHairCorp.com. Let them take care of all your natural human hair extension needs. Did we get, is natural human hair extension, is that an oxymoron? Or?
This is definitely an oxymoron. Right. I don't know where I heard it.
Y'all know what I'm trying to say, though. Free tax, no shipping. Get your bundles taken care of. CelebrityHairCorp.com.
All
right. So now that we're done with that, we can get into the getting the evil out section of the show. And, I'll start out because I think we talked about this. I'm not sure if everybody else has anything, but this week I finally got on. I'm finally trying to get on the right track, handle the things that I'm supposed to be handling. And so I went out to do my my first round of community service. And I chose to do my community service at the local Goodwill. So I don't know. I went in there and it wasn't what I was expecting. I mean, everybody seemed to be very happy and grateful that I was there to volunteer and to give my time. I felt kind of bad because it's like, I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't the threat of jail looming over my head if I didn't show up. But it was definitely interesting. I'm telling you, I still haven't gotten like that overly Febreze smell out of my nostrils.
That odor is horrible.
Like, that's what they have to do to make that stuff not, I guess, smell like it was previously on is quite obnoxious. I don't know. There's a lot of Febreze in the air. It got to me. I'll be back though. I got to go back. But I'll tell you this thing that happened because I had one of my like petty moments in the Goodwill. So they charged me with like going to certain racks of the clothing, looking for clothes that had like a certain color tag. Because that meant they had been out there a certain amount of time and they were taking those down to just, they say salvage. I don't know if that means throw them away. Like, this is stuff that been to the Goodwill and still couldn't get sold. It's like, now what you got to do with it? So I'm over in like the women's section, like in the skirts and stuff. And so I know what it looks like. Like, I'm a dude, like, going through like every skirt on the rack, you know, pulling some of them off, putting them in my cart. And this one dude I look over is just like staring at me. Like he's watching me like like intently. Like what is I saw at first I was like, you know, I could understand. Like maybe he's a little confused. He's like, why is this black dude like spending this much time in a women's clothes section? This is kinda creepy. You know, I gotta watch him to make sure he's not like a sex offender or something. I don't know. I tried to like make my volunteer badge, you know, more visible.
More visible.
I was trying to clear myself, but then the petty kicked in, and it's like, oh, word, you think I'm over here doing some freaky shit with these with these previously owned skirts? Okay, I got you. So I mean, yeah, of course, then I started, you know, taking a little more time and care in how I was searching through the skirts. I may have groped a couple of the skirts a little bit, just for added effect, and he continued to like stare at me, so I, you know, I didn't know what to do. So I had to take the load of skirts that I had pulled off the rack, and take them to the back so I could, you know, clean out my cart and start all over again. And so when I come back out, he's staring in the exact same direction. So now I'm realizing he wasn't staring at me.
He was looking right past you.
He's just, and it's like nothing in front of you. Like he's just in the Goodwill, like in an aisle with a book in his hand. Like not reading the book. The book is just in his hand.
And so the he's book just was like, the cover.
And he's just like staring. The book isn't even open. Like the book is like tucked under his arm. Like just, and he's just like staring in a direction. And so now I turned into him. Like now I'm watching this movie. Like what is wrong with you? So I picked like the rack right next to wherever he was and started searching through clothes there and just like looking up every 5 seconds to see what he was doing. And I never figured it out. Like I feel like now I need to continue to go back to this Goodwill to see if he comes back. We need to put his man on a list or something.
He might have just zoned out.
Cause he getting ready. But nah, this is what he was doing. Like if somebody came in the aisle that he was standing and staring, he would leave the aisle and go find another aisle where nobody was in, and then stop, post up, and just
stop
like
and stare.
And stare. And I kept looking, like trying to find the thing that he's looking at. Like there are women that work in the store. Like maybe he was stalking one of the, you know, one of the chicks or something. Like, I don't know. But it didn't seem like that. It looked like he was staring at windows. Like he was just staring.
Well, maybe he's an artist. Maybe he wants to paint
the inside of the Goodwill.
Yeah,
he was trying to get that mental picture all the way down. I like your positivity there. I don't know. I think like he was a terrorist or something. I don't know. Like, why do you go to the Goodwill and just stare at the walls? Like during regular business, like while people are shopping, you just in the fucking aisle just staring. I don't know.
Legend has it, he's still there.
He's still there. He hid in one of the dressing rooms, where is everybody left?
He's still there.
And he's still staring at that same spot. But yeah, shout out to the Goodwill. They were very very nice to me. I was kind of concerned. I thought like, you know, they might not accept somebody coming in there, you know, to do their probation stuff. Like, you know you're not there.
Free help is free help.
And they seem to be very very appreciative of it. I'm appreciative of them for allowing me to do it so that I can get my hours off the books. But they seem to be happy to have me there. So shout out to the Goodwill. That's all I got. Just creepy man in the Goodwill. Maybe he was howling for breeze. I don't know.
It's possible.
Man.
I don't know. Anybody else got anything they want to get off the chest for me?
I mean, I had a gripe.
Rich
last
over here
week.
Shopping for shoes. She's been looked at about 72,000 pairs of shoes in the last 5 minutes.
I've been shopping. I want a new pair of shoes, and I'm not sure which ones to get yet. It's either between Lanvin, Common Projects, or some Golden Goose. But I don't know if I want to spend that much money right now, because these are the cheap ones, and the cheap ones are $264. So kind of like trying to weigh it out, because the Lanvin ones I want are $525, so it's like I'm gonna keep my money in my wallet for now.
Nah, I ain't got nothing. I don't even have no comeback for that, Rick. Like that just completely fucked me up.
I had a rant the other day, because as I left the house to go come over here for the last episode, Renee gave me a hug, and after she gives me the hug, I walk away and I happen to look to the side because I was getting my keys. I was like, God damn it, she got me again, Daniel. So basically, Renee's shorter than me. She's about like 5'4", 5'5". So every time she hugs me, her head like just hits directly on my shoulder. And then when she pulls away, makeup stain. Every goddamn time. So every right shoulder, because she always hugs me on the right. So brown spot, every shirt. Every shirt. And then I got to go through the laundry.
Wear a brown shirt.
Yeah, I got to get the oxy.
Wear a brown shirt.
I got to get the oxy clean out. Make sure all it's not the staining.
Answers. He has all the answers. Y'all need to call in. But now, I went through that.
Can't they invent some non-rub-off makeup?
I think they do have it. I dated it wouldn't be so much from her giving me hugs, but if he was sitting like watching TV or something, she always lean her head on my shoulder, and then like, god damn it, got, like you say, it got me again. Another one, boss. Take it out, my check.
Another one.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a huge no diss to people who wear makeup, but probably for that reason and a few others, I am just not a real. I never really been a huge fan of makeup. Like I don't, and I think that probably was the beginning of my hatred. Not hatred, because that sounds a little intense. But my preference for no makeup. I got tired of, and some of that shit is hard to get out. Like you got to know, you got to have like special processes for getting makeup out.
And a lot of it is fucking waterproof, so you really can't wash it. You got to use special types of wipes and chemicals and shit. I just be like, god damn it. Shit is hard.
I don't know. I don't even want to go down that. I was having flashbacks of that that past relationship with the makeup stain. It's a bad time.
But that's It wasn't nothing big. I just remembered it. I kept looking down because I got on a white shirt today, and I remember Renee hugged me, but then I was like, I remembered we both just threw on sweatpants and tees and sneakers and ran out. So I'm in the clear today. I'm good.
I don't know. All right, you got anything to add to Millennial?
No, not really. I mean, I'm going back to school in a month, and a little upset about that. Not looking forward to it.
I was about to say, you about the only Millennial I know without a gripe. Like, you're not mad at something? Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm young. I'm in shape. I'm on cloud nine.
and in shape. Motherfucker.
I'm not really mad at anything right now.
I can't wait till dad bod hit you.
No, it's not going to happen.
We all said that. We used to be in a gym.
I'm going
to
keep running.
Riding bikes and shit, lifting weights. Now look.
Yeah, that shit happened overnight. I think I'm being Rich was talking about this. Like, there was a time where I was trying to get to 150. I was under 150, and all I wanted was to make it to 150. Right now, all I want is to make it to 150.
you went way past the finish line.
If I could just get back to 150.
Yeah, I think that was me for a while, trying to just between 150, 155. That was my target weight. I was always like smaller, like 135, 140. Like, took forever to get there, but then I never hit 150, 155. I leapfrogged it. So it was like 140, 165. Just overnight. I don't know what the fuck happened. I think I'm like 180 now. I gotta shed some pounds.
I feel like a woman right now. Like, I don't talk about my weight. I don't give out that number. Like, I don't need. Y'all can know how old I am. All that. You can ask me anything else. Don't ask me how much I weigh. That's gonna be a fight. All right. So we gonna go. Speaking of fights, so I guess I heard that you. I think you were trying not to find out who won the fight, but it got leaked.
Yeah,
the information got to you somehow. Yeah, we weren't able to go watch the UFC fight last night, but
that's a rant. I was upset about that.
You're upset about that.
I was upset that I found out who won, and I didn't want to know. But now,
were you going to try to watch it later?
Yeah, I got to record it back in Maryland. So
that's another day.
Yeah. I know.
So we talking about that with Cormier
Jones
fight
two.
Yeah. I didn't.
Who won, Jones?
Jones.
But we didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. I don't know how he won though, so I'm gonna save that till I get back.
Really? You ain't have no faith in Jones?
No.
How you gonna have faith in a crackhead? You can't have faith in a crackhead.
I'm from New York. I've seen crackheads walking on a block with a refrigerator on their back. They're strong. Shit.
I mean, I have faith in both of them. They're both talented fighters, both highly skilled, trained. I just thought it was anybody's game, to be honest, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. I heard that the preliminary fights, I mean, people aren't really saying that the fight was that good. They were like, the preliminary fights were better.
That's what I heard.
The main event.
The preliminary fights, they were pretty entertaining. I mean, I don't know. Daniel Cormier, from what I saw at the weigh-in, he was in the best shape that he's ever been in since he's been in the UFC.
He didn't look quite so much like a pudgy little man.
Yeah, yeah. Know,
he actually looked a little muscular this time around.
Yeah, just going off of looks, I'm like, oh, okay, he's gonna bring it this time. He said he was going to perform at his best. He said nobody's seen him at his best yet in the octagon, and that night was going to be the night where he laid down all the cards. And Jones said that he came back a completely different fighter, and it was anybody's game.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. I'll have to catch the actual fight at some point and see what happened. But
yeah,
it is what it is. All right, so let's get into it, gentlemen. So I know that this is, you know, we going back. Like, we're doing a little bit of a throwback because this movie's been out. It's been over. We stopped talking about it. But I really was interested in getting Thaddeus's mm-hmm. perspective on the movie, you know, because I'm not around too many young people, you know, so everybody that I've talked to about the movie is my age, and we have our own perspective, you know,
from growing up in the same era, growing up in the same era, right? Yeah.
It'd be interesting to get the thoughts of someone who had a different, might have a different approach. So I'm talking about Get Out. Since Thad has been here, you know, we watched the movie together, and because he hadn't seen it yet. So I thought we'd get the three of us, we get three brothers, sit down here and chop it up about Get Out.
And before we dissect it and try to break it down part by part to get our different perspectives, just overall, what do you think of it?
I thought it was a pretty good movie. I mean, I thought it was a little trippy towards the end. It had me confused at a few parts that I still don't quite fully understand. Yeah. So we can get into that later.
Okay.
But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was very well written. I liked the job that the actors did. It was being billed as a horror film, but I didn't get really that horror aspect of it. It was a real thriller suspense.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, it was more than I thought it was going to be. Like, I felt like it was overrated to a certain extent just because of all of the hype. Mm-hmm. But for what it was as a movie and what he brought to the stage, it was a pretty good film.
Yeah.
Just all of the subtle nuance of it, just thinking about all of those little things that he was able to pull off, it was a good film.
Yeah. It was definitely a good film. I do think that there was way too much. Like some point people were billing this movie like it was going to, gonna change your life, like you know. It was
and people were hyping it for the sake of hyping it because they wanted the film to succeed, which we all wanted it to succeed. But I don't want you to hype the movie up for the sake of hyping it. I want you to actually watch the film, internalize, and understand the story and the message, and then, you know, give your opinion on it. And if you still feel the same way, hype it up, so that way when you're doing it and when you're saying it, you can speak properly towards what's going on. You can get other people engaged and interested. Not just say, just watch Get Out is going to change your life, because I feel like that's what was happening.
And I think at some point it became that thing that you couldn't say you didn't like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it got to be so important to blackness that you better not like it.
People were trying to revoke your card.
Yeah, like, if you ain't like Get Out, something's wrong. You know you can't come to the next Phantom reunion. But I'm gonna say this: the first thing, watching it again, oddly enough, the first thing that struck me is these got to be the only two brothers in America with Windows phones. I had never seen people with Windows. I had never seen people in real life with Windows phones. And then all of a sudden,
I had to be some product placement.
Yeah, Microsoft put in some. Say, I hope. Well, congratulations for getting the check for that, because I haven't really seen a Windows phone in real life until that movie. And it was like two dudes, and they both got Windows phones.
Yeah, man.
Like, we not gonna do no Apple versus Android in this joint. Straight Windows phone. All right.
So you mentioned that there were some parts that confused you. So what were those?
Yeah. Initially, going into watching this film, I thought it was all about race. You know, they were abducting the black people. Yeah. They were hypnotizing the black people. And then, come towards the end, when the main character is strapped down in the chair, and the old guy's on TV, I forgot what his name is, but it turns out he just wants their eyes. so he can see again, the old blind guy.
So it wasn't just the eyes. They were going to go through with the full surgery on the lobotomy, took out his brain and planted it into the black brain. Of his brain. Mm-hmm. But they chose him specifically for his vision and for his eye. So therefore, basically he worked his eyes at a certain point where, I don't know the proper term for, but his ocular gifts were what that guy wanted, because he used to be a photographer. So he knows if he takes this body, this dude's eyes are already honed to the point where he can recognize certain things. So he picked him and placed his bid and won the bid or whatever, because he wanted his eyes as a photographer.
Right. I mean, that's like everybody, all of the different abductions that they've done, like the people who bought these people or whatever, who went, you know, were trying to get something. If it was an older white gentleman trying to get virile again, mm-hmm. you know, get the young black stud or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. or what was it? The grandfather and the running. Mm-hmm. I think the grandmother, you know, seemed to be pretty vain and wanted to be beautiful and young mm-hmm. again. You know,
everybody had a reason, so they were basically just catering to those requests. So that's what that was. That man went blind. He wanted to be able to see again, but moreover, more importantly, not just see, but be able to view the world in a different light. And Chris happened to be a photographer, and he was the type of photographer who viewed the world in that light. And that's what that guy wanted to feel again. Right. So that's why he chose his body.
Well, then afterwards, Chris had asked why black people, and the guy had said he didn't care about what color you were. He just wanted...
Yeah, the guy personally didn't care whether Chris was Asian, black, whatever. Like he couldn't tell him damn, so he didn't know. He's blind.
Right.
He just knew that somebody was giving him a second chance. Right. So he wasn't able to answer that question.
But yeah, I think the reason why black people, it was an example of how our lives are devalued. Like, mm-hmm. and to them, you know, like I think the old man, the father, the grandfather, mm-hmm. when in that video when he was explaining like the whole procedure, he was like, you know, with your physical gifts and our determination, like that's all.
Man, we're just
counting. That was the value that we held. Mm-hmm. Like we have these natural physical abilities, and you know, our lives really don't matter to the point that you can just take one of us. You know, your value lies strictly in your mm-hmm. physical abilities. I'm just gonna take you. We can erase that part of you that has no value, which is the you, and put me in it because I have value in that mm-hmm. in that arena, and I just need the physical gifts. So I think that's kind of what it was like. Why black people? Because emotionally, psychologically, they don't matter.
Exactly, like, and to add to that, it's sad but true. We live in communities where people just don't report shit. People don't say shit. People don't reach out. People don't care. Perfect example. Chris said he recognized the dude. And he's like, I know him from somewhere. Then everybody starts realizing, oh yeah, he had just disappeared. I wonder what happened to him. They realize this man disappeared. Their friend disappeared. Nobody's seen him, but no one has said anything. Nobody's following police reports.
Yeah. I mean, it was in the news. Like he was missing.
Yeah, but it's oh, he's missing. That's it. You know what I mean? Because it's not as important, like you said, as another person's life. Yeah. Had a white person been missing, like it would have been like. Okay.
It goes back to that whole bit that Patrice O'Neal used to do. He was like, you know, the white lady go missing, they gonna search for you for months. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, black girl go missing. Like he talked about what those football players that was in the boat and went missing or something. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, they gonna walk out to the edge of the water and be like, I don't see him.
Listen, after the,
can't after find
the, him. They tell you after the first 48. I mean, this is a cold case. I don't know what to tell you.
A man said, if he goes sailing, he's going to strap a white baby to it.
You're going to find me.
You're going to find me.
It's his lifeline.
But yeah, I think that was one of the themes of the movie, is like that pure devaluation or placing our value only in specific. Even when they were having that conversation with him at the dinner table, it wasn't really about like who he was as a person or what he believed in or anything like that. It was... What sport do you play? Have you ever trained in jiu-jitsu or you do
physical
MMA?
Attributes, because at the end of the day, that's all we are.
That's all, yeah. Like you said, like cattle. That's all they were looked at. See, I guess that's what I took away from the choosing of black people. I think in that one particular case with the blind dude, that blind dude didn't care what body he got.
Okay.
He just wanted to see.
That's what threw me off. Because I was like, why black people?
And see, that's one of those. That's one of the undertones that a lot of people aren't talking about this movie. I've never heard anybody ask that question. That was a good question. Everybody's focusing on the cereal and the couch and everything else. But it's more importantly, it's those subtle undertones that he was trying to push, like those stories. And why, as a society, was it okay to pick black people?
Yeah, but it also shows, like, I think we've all been in those situations where, you know, somebody's not sizing you up to steal your body or to perform a lobotomy on you, but you have conversations with people of other cultures, and all the information they seem to want to pull out of you is
your physical attributes,
or just the stuff that they know culturally, like, you know, what music do you listen to, or, you know, they assume you're a rap fan. People start talking to you about Jay-Z.
Which is entirely true. Yo, did you hear the new 444? Did you? Shit, I don't know. Do you play basketball? Do you play football? Do you smoke? Get the same questions every time.
People don't start dissecting you as a full human being. They start dissecting you as a black person. Like, you know, what sport do you play? Do you, you know, are you familiar with this music or this person or all that? You know, it takes a while for someone to start looking at you like them.
And you know what I hate? When I get those questions like, oh, what do you do for a living? And I say I'm in IT. And then you get the, oh, wow, really? You must be smart, huh? Like,
what? Yeah. I get the same reactions when I tell them I'm writing a novel. Yeah, it's impossible.
That's it. Like, God forbid a nigger fix a computer. Like, the fuck?
And it was a lot in that movie that I think, you know, pointed out some of those subtle ways that you end up in racial situations, and other people don't even realize they've made the situation racial. Or it kind of pointed out to me that maybe sometimes I think I look at the world racially because I have to. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be aware that I'm the only black person in the room, or I have to be aware of, you know, how many. So let's talk about that. I think I'm still at a point in my life where I get nervous in a room full of white people.
Yeah.
Am I the only person that feels that? Like,
no, true. Happens every time. So as soon as I go into a place, I immediately gauge my surroundings. And like we said before, you're always trying to look just for that one other black person. And then when you find them, you just instinctively, you like give them that little head nod. Like, right. I see you, you see me. Right. You know, subconsciously, we got each other back. Like, we are a team right now.
It's so true.
And it's sad that, you know, we have to go through life like that, but it is what it is.
I never really paid much attention to it until my senior year of high school. And it's like, I really started to become more aware of my surroundings, what was going on. I started watching the news, stuff like that. Just more alert, you know? And I agree with you, Jared. When I'm in a room, I feel like I'm outnumbered. I do get a little nervous.
A little nervous.
My leg starts to shake.
I just remember in the movie, like, the moment the friend caught wind that you going off into their world
by yourself.
Like, dude, you immediately need to be scared. Like, I'm scared for you. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to go off into their world by yourself. I tell you one of the scariest moments. Just a funny story, a scary moment that me and my friend had. Reggie been on the show. Me and Reggie, I think we was out in like Clarendon or something. Like, this is in Virginia, a suburb of DC, and it's a pretty, like, I guess, affluent area. And I think we was at like a Cheesecake Factory or something like that. And for some reason, we had either decided to take a walk or was walking to the car to get something. And we walk into the car, and like somewhere around us, a car alarm goes off, and we immediately fucking panic. Like, we had not done nothing, but we know that we two black people in this majority white area, and now a car alarm is going off. You know, if somebody looks out here and sees the two of us,
it was you.
It's us. And if we run, we look more guilty. But if we standing right there, like, we just asking for, you know, like, it's like we couldn't. It was a moment of panic. Like, what the fuck do we do? Like, we had. That's all it took was a car alarm to go off. And we weren't scared about, you know, is somebody robbing a car next to us? We were scared about, you know, am I about to get arrested? Am I about to get hit, beat, you know, by a police officer? Because it was assumed I was doing something because I was standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think that's the fear of, like, being in their world. Mm-hmm. You know anything. The rules aren't the same. And that, you know.
I find that when I go shopping now, not just now, but for a while, actually, and when I think back in hindsight, Whenever I go to stores, I find that I over-explain myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like we'll be in a Ralph Lauren store, Nordstrom, or wherever we are, and I'll be looking at a pair of shoes, and you know, it's always the white person, like, "Oh, can I help you? Like, can you really afford that?" Like, so, but I always think that they're thinking, and I always over-explain, like, "Yeah, you know, I have this pair of shoes right here in black. I would like to buy a brown pair. I'm gauging what color I should get, though, if not brown." You know, just making them aware that, yes, I can afford this. Yes, I'm here to spend money. I have money just like you have money. I feel a way. Like, I feel like that's the way that the world is looking at me because that's how it's always been. Hmm. So, that sucks, but...
So, what you're saying, Jared, is the it's the fear of being a bullseye target?
I am a target. You are a target.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you... And I think especially the long, because at one point I had this like idealistic view, because my mother is really like, you know, she grew up in the era where it was apparent, like the stuff that was going to happen to you for being black was not like insidious and under the radar. Like it was in your face. Like you don't eat here. You don't stop here. You don't walk in here. Like this is whites only. That's your line. This is our line. And, you know, and then, you know, for us, it's gotten more and more, you know, subliminal and under the radar and tucked away. But, you know, in her mind, it's always there. And she was, and as a kid, she was putting that in me, like, you know, you need to be careful around these people. You need to be careful around these people. And I'd be, "Nah, Ma, you know, you bugging, like, you know, that world is, that's in the past. It's not like that anymore, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever." And I think the older I've gotten, I've realized, nah, she was kind of still right, you know. And if I'm in their environment, it's like I know we don't play by the same rules. And so I feel like I don't know your rules. You know, I don't know how to act here because I don't know your rules. Like I can be in some of the worst neighborhoods in D.C. and feel comfortable because I know the rules. You know, I know how things go. I know what to do, what not to do.
I know the game,
you know. But, you know, you go in that arena and it's like all of a sudden I know I don't know the rules. And I don't know what's going to get me in trouble. I don't know what's going to get me hurt. I don't know what's going to get me blamed for something. I'm just uncomfortable immediately. Like, I want to feel safe, and I don't feel safe right now. And I don't know if that's just me or if it's still, like, shit happening in the world that's feeding into that fear. But,
yeah, the fear of the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen to you in that environment necessarily.
All right, so what other parts in the movie were on your mind?
That was basically the main one, is why the black people, why the blind guy say he didn't care what color you were. That just threw me for a loop right there. It because I thought the whole movie was based off of race, like strictly off of race. White guy with the black girl. I mean, white girl with the black guy, and he's in that environment where he's outnumbered and stuff happens. But other than that, I don't think I really had any other parts where I was like, okay, so what does that mean? I pretty much understood where the plot was going, so
it also did strike me that the way we have like this, if somebody does start connecting the dots, like, you know, like I said, like things nowadays have to be more insidious and not so in your face. And it's like when one of us does, you know, start looking at situations and then start connecting the dots and like, hey, you know, I think this is what they're doing, or I think this is their plan. You know, I see it. We look at them like they're crazy, exactly like, you know, his friend's character, you know, was looked at. He even went to the police and it was still like, I'm telling you, these people out in the woods abducting black people and turning them, hypnotizing them, turning them at me. He was spot on. Like, he was telling them exactly what was fucking happening, and he wasn't there to see it. He was just figuring it out, you know, from what he was hearing over the phone. And he was absolutely spot on. And it's still, like, I think if he was telling me that story, I'd have been like, come on, dog, like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nobody out here trying to kidnap black people, dog. Get the fuck out. You know, like, I think that's how are we, like, conditioned to try not to see it, or to knock people down who say they see it? Like, it makes me question everything. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but now, like, should I be?
I mean, if there was going to be a all, like, master conspiracy against blacks, like, it would be easy for it to happen to us because, We're never gonna believe the person who told us the truth.
Yeah, never gonna believe. But where does that come from? Like, where is that? Where is that initial behavioral pattern?
And like, I think it's more so not necessarily believing somebody's gonna tell us the truth, but you won't believe another black person.
Right. That's, I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is like, what is, what has happened or what is happening that programs us to be like, nah, bro, or just strictly not to go with it because it wasn't your idea. Like, I can't support it because I ain't figured it out first. Like, you figured it out, so I got to try to poke holes in it because I can't let you think you that smart.
It's just been ingrained with us in us for so many years. Like, the truth and the freedom of knowledge has to come from Massa, and you know, that's not you.
Yeah.
So if it's not him telling me, then I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. And if you did find out, then how did you find out? You must have found out from Massa too. So therefore, you know, I mean.
I mean, it reminds me, because one of the things I hate more than anything in this social media era right now is the idea of woke. I hate woke. I can't. When people use it, and I know you've used it, Rich, but, you know this. But
I've said it, like, jokingly, though, because I don't feel like I'm woke. I just feel like I like to be aware of what's going on.
Like, the majority of times when I hear, like, posts and stuff, or I see posts and things about people being, quote-unquote, you know, woke, it almost seems, and again, this could just be me, you know, and my insecurities or whatever, but it almost seems more like people aren't really trying to give you the knowledge. They just want you to know they know something more than what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm woke and you sleep. Like, you know, stay woke, though. Like, nah, like, right. if you know better, then teach everybody. Like, if you That's got the I'm answers.
Don't chastise me.
If you got the answers, hand them out, dog. Like, if you know, like, if you know better, I will. If you know something and you can show it to me, I'll follow you. If you got the right direction, if you can tell me where, you know, if you can lead me, if you can tell me where we going and this is the way to go, then cool, do that. I'm all for it. But a lot of times when I see this woke thing, it just seems more like a
who is really woke? Who is really woke? Who is all knowing? What human being is all knowing?
I'm just wondering, if you got the knowledge, like, share it. Like, don't just tell us you got the knowledge. Like, put it out there. Give it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I kind of, it worries me with all these, you know, supposed secret societies, the Masons and all this stuff. It's like, I can understand if there is organizations like that. But if these organizations are operating under the idea that, you know, they have the truth, then what is the reason to keep the truth within an encapsulated group of people? Like, why not just give the truth out freely?
Out there. We just gotta find it.
The truth is out there. I gotta see that movie, though.
Yeah, The Big Sick. I want to see it too.
The truth is out there. All right, that's racist. That was horrible. I'm sorry. What else did I take away from that movie? Watching it a second time, I think was definitely beneficial, because it did let me focus in on some of the smaller things that I had really paid attention.
Who eats cereal like that, though?
So is that purely supposed to be just like a metaphor for the separation of whites from the coloreds? Like, she had the cereal in the bowl and the milk in the glass. Every time I brought that up, it's obviously just, you know, separating white things and colored things. That's all it is.
I mean, I'm sure there was
I feel like it's gotta be something more. I don't know. Maybe I'm just digging.
Deeper meaning.
Did you take anything special away from that?
No. I just want to Google it.
Yeah, I swear for Jesus, yo. I see somebody eat cereal like that.
Run.
Run, yes, run.
I saw that in that movie one time.
Yeah, Thaddeus was across the street talking to our neighbors there for the hours that day. I'm like, man, if I see some Fruit Loops.
Yeah, I didn't understand that reference, but now I do.
Yeah, I feel like the only references that anyone and everyone ever talked about was the Fruit Loops and the milk being separated and the cotton in the chair. That was it.
What we got?
Making sure that wasn't like a wet spot.
It's like it's a greasy spot.
But yeah, that was it. Everybody's like, oh my God, did you see the chair? He's picking cotton. And I'm like, okay, cool.
And the part where the guy was running about, that was more of
crazy.
That was more of a social media trend, the get out challenge.
See, that's when his black card should have got revoked immediately. Because if I come to a place that I'm not familiar with, and the first night I'm there, some shit like that happens, it's time to go. I don't want to be here. I know I'm not gonna be out here in the woods.
No.
and there's people just running in the middle of the night.
Oh, willy nilly.
Nah, we gotta go. We gotta leave. I will Uber home. I'll find a way home. You ain't got to drive me. I ain't waiting for you. At. And that whole thing with him waiting for her to find the keys.
Yeah, nah, find the keys. Like, she ain't losing no damn keys.
Get the keys. Where the keys?
That bag wasn't that big.
And this was after he found the pictures of her with all those black dudes. Yeah.
You don't need the keys to step outside the house. Like, you can at least get out the house first. You know, I don't know. Yeah, we ain't not going to poke holes in the movies, guys. I think it was a good movie. But
it was good.
And here's the last thing that struck me watching it the second time around is that at the very end, when he's in the street, and, you know, everybody's dead, grandmother's dead, grandfather shot himself, you know, and shot the girl, and he's, you know, he's choking her, and then the cop car pulls up, that his immediate, like, the difference in their reactions, like, when that cop car pulled up, she's the evil one, and she immediately felt relieved, like, the savior is here, I'm okay. He immediately went into hands up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got another enemy to defeat. Let me try to not get shot by these ones. You know, like I think that was real poignant to show that even at that stage, at, you know, as out of it as he probably was and from everything that he had to go through, he still went
instinctively hyper aware to what's going on.
The police showed up. He didn't go running toward the car like, man, you got to save me. These people, white folks, crazy. Mm-hmm. Nah, he put his hands up. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't do. You know, like immediately
know the drill.
He know the drill, and she immediately went into victim mode.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Like that, just that instinctual, you know, thing that happens when we see them lights. I don't know.
I be shooting bullets when I see cop cars. Please don't be for me. Man, I be scared when other people get pulled over. Like, oh shit.
You ever seen it coming? Like, I remember I ordered a pizza at my when I lived back home, and if you live where I live, pizza man don't come up to your door, mm-hmm. so you gotta come outside. So I was standing outside waiting for him. Like, I'm not just gonna wait for him to get here and then call me and I'm gonna come down. I'm just gonna chill outside, wait for the pizza man. So I see police like up the hill from me, and they look like, I see flashlights, and like they looking for something. I'm like, fuck. Like, I know. Like, I know if I look and they see me and I see them and then I move, that clearly looks
exactly.
That clearly looks bad. So now I got to stand here.
Get up and go into the building. Now the building's on lockdown and all types of shit. You gotta.
So it's like now I got to. Now I gotta stand here, and they getting closer, and then I hear on the little radio, like, you know, blue jeans and a hoodie. And what the fuck was I wearing? Of course, it's the uniform, like,
exactly.
You know, you standing outside in the middle of the night, what, you gonna put a hoodie on? So yeah, I got stopped by, and it had to have been like three or four of them, and then they were laughing at me. They were asking me stuff like for my ID, and I kept my hands up the entire time. Like, nobody asked me to put my hands up. I just put my hands up. And he was like, sir, you can put your hands down. I'm like, I'm good. I'm cool. I'm good. As long as this don't bother you, it don't bother me. I'm good.
it's real. No sudden movements.
No sudden. And then he was asking, like, can you get your ID? I'm like, I'm reaching for my wallet. I'm reaching for my wallet.
In three, two.
I don't want nobody to say I saw him fidgeting. No, I was just breathing.
Nah. Yeah, they had a... I don't know if it bothered. I don't know if they were insulted or they just really thought it was funny, but they was laughing at my ass. I wasn't going to put my pants down. I wasn't going to put my hands down until you told me, you know, like, till y'all walked away. Like, you could even say, all right, you free to go. I'm like, nah, I'm going to stand here. Y'all walk away. I'm not going to turn my back. Y'all walk away. And then when y'all are out of my vision, I'll put my hands down.
It's fucking sad that that's how we have to live.
Yeah. I mean,
and these supposed to be our protected, but
yeah, protect and serve.
Have you had a police officer run in?
No, my father has, and I was there to witness it.
I'm praying that you never do. I've been stripped in the street. I'm praying that you never. Oh man, I had some too. Bad run-ins.
I'm praying.
and it's crazy. I swear to God, it's crazy. 8 out of 10 black guys that you meet will tell you the same story.
They've had an experience of
Same story. Same story. Same upbringing. Because of similar issues happening within our society, just because of the color of our skin.
Yeah. Mm. Color of your skin means you fit the description every time.
Mm. I told you that one time they had me stripping. They were saying you fit the description of somebody we're looking for. The description was African American male between the height of 5'5 and 6'2. 130 to 215 pounds. And I shit you not, this is exactly what the fuck they said and what came over the fucking radio when they stopped me. And I'm like, that's everyone.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That is fucking everyone from Spud Webb to fucking Shaquille O'Neal. Like, come on. And that's what I got stopped for.
That's crazy.
You know, while they had me there stripping, turns out the guy was Robin and whatever somebody else, and they caught him, and I'm like, told you it wasn't me, it was the other black guy.
Like, it's that black guy.
That shit was crazy.
Alright, so before we get out of here, Thaddeus, you've had a full, I think this is like your second like full month in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first full month in Austin as a 19-year-old. I don't know if that makes any difference, but
fresh eyes.
So what has been your experience during this visit? What are you going to take back home with you from being here in Austin for a month?
Well, I'm going to take back the good food. You know, being in Austin, the food is a lot different than it is in Maryland. I couldn't find one microwavable pizza in the grocery store, first of all. Everything had to be in the oven. So diet is definitely something that I'll take away from being here. Got a lot of bad stuff out of my system. I've been going to the Plates on Plates fitness gym with Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back into shape, so I'll take a lot of workouts from there. It's been overall a great experience. Good people, I love the neighborhood. Very relaxed around here, very laid back.
We finalists in that Good Morning America joint.
Good Morning America, yeah.
We might, you know, y'all might see me on the TV.
I swear, I'm about to make a pot of chili and come over here. Okay?
I got some
challenge.
I learned some skills taking care of a baby. How to fasten and unfasten the car seat. What some of the baby lingo stands for.
I think he learned you gotta lock the bathroom door.
Yeah, yeah. Cause yeah, apparently she can reach the knob now.
She will run up on you.
Hi. Yeah. Found you.
That's dope. That's dope. I think that's the first thing that everybody says about Austin, the food.
The food.
Yeah.
And
it's different.
I don't know if it's the fact that, because like, I miss a lot of the foods from New York just because it was so culturally diverse. So I think it's a mixture between, one, there actually being good foods, especially the barbecues, but the fact that it's a lot of fresh foods. Like, yeah. It's literally farm to table, organic, non-pesticides, no GMO. Like, it's... You saw this dude go right back there, kill a cow, and pick the corn, and go put it on a plate.
Back on the East Coast, it's just so hard to find stuff like that. And yeah. If you do find it, it's like super expensive.
Yeah.
They almost make it impossible.
Yeah, whereas here, it's just like,
it's just so surprised for everything. Mm-hmm. Like everything, you drink Austin beer, you know, mm-hmm. Everything's got to be Austin. Got to be Austin. Got to be from here, made
here. I do
here.
Find that I drink a lot of Austin beer when I do.
It's good beer. Not that I drink it, probation officer, but it is good beer. Alright, I think that's our time for this afternoon. I want to thank Thad for hanging out with us for a third episode.
Pleasure to be here.
Thad Lineal.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank everyone else for rocking with us for 72 episodes.
72.
We clearly seen that we Medicaid type situation now. Like, however Medicaid might be going away. They still trying.
Yeah.
They still trying.
We might hit 100 right around Thanksgiving or something like that.
That'd be dope. I still haven't figured out Thanksgiving plans, whether I can make it back to the East Coast or not. It's all up in the air.
I'm not making it back. You're to the East Coast. I'm not even going to plan that. I'm not speaking into existence. It is. It's the holidays. The holidays are expensive as it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to grow. We got to plan this wedding, plan our next moves, our next stage. So. Saving is the name of the game.
So it sounds like a lot of big things coming.
Big things probably.
Through the White Pants Society. Paul, that ain't come out right.
On that note.
It's a lot of darkness out there. Be the light.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.